And welcome you to Council Meeting Number 15, today being the 8th of August 2016. I declare the meeting open and welcome all in attendance and remind that those in attendance, that is, that you are advised it is Council policy to record the Council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available in the public, to the public in Council's, on Council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with Council policy, I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. Right. And it's confirmed. I would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay my respects to them and their their customs and to their elders past, present and future. Councillors in attendance is myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reid, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. Staff with us tonight is the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Deputy General Manager, Mr Ferrier, the Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, the Manager, Governance and Property Services, Mr Smee, the Manager, Development Services, Mrs Loxley, the Manager, Community Services, Ms Jenny, the Media and Communications Officer, Ms Wilcox, and the Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. There are no apologies, as we're all present. Councillors, there was a late agenda item that I authorised with the General Manager for closed session. To discuss this, I do need a mover and a seconder.
I'll move.
Thank you. That is that the late item circulator be considered for closed session. I have that from Councillor Fox and second it with Councillor Reid. Councillors, I'll put that to the vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against? And we'll have a display or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reid and Wass, and opposing Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. Motion is carried. On page 2, I'm calling for a move and a seconder that the minutes of meeting number 14 held on the 25th of July 2016 be confirmed. Councillor Percy and Councillor Reid. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the 25th of July 2016, there have been none. Declarations of interest, I ask councillors to indicate if you have any declarations of interest to declare. Councillor Berry?
Just one to mention in closed session.
One in closed session. Do you have the item number, councillor? I know which one. Yep, thank you.
I think it's only one apart from the
yes,
leave
it
of
is.
Absence.
That's correct.
I certainly got an interest in the leave of absence, of course, as well.
We'll move on to page 3, questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, no notices of notice from the public were received. At present there are no public in attendance. Questions from councillors, from Councillor Grace regarding stormwater and a response to Councillor Grace on page 4. Also on page 4 is a question from Councillor Bastone in relation to a guardrail at Snug and a response from staff. On page 4 also from Councillor Bastone in relation to the Alonna ferry terminal, and there is a response to the question there to Councillor Bastone. On page 5 from Councillor Bastone in relation to Browns River contamination, a response on page 5 and top of page 6. Also from Councillor Bastone, a question regarding Kingston Park and a response on page 6. From page 7, from Councillor Atkinson, also regarding Kingston Park, a question and response on page 7. Are there any questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Percy.
Thank you. I have one on policies, are the current policies of council available for viewing and downloading on the council's website? And are the council's policies reviewed in line with expectations contained within those policies? The reason why I'm saying this, there is currently 59 policies on the council's website, and of those, 39 policies are past the review date contained within the policy, and there are a further 7 policies which do not have a review date. So I'm just like to know where we're at with those, please.
Thank you. I'll ask the General Manager to respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We'll take that question on notice, Councillor Percy, and provide a written response.
Councillor Winter.
Have the relevant permits for the wireless NBN tower at Tinderbox been issued?
Mrs. Loxley.
A development application was approved some time ago. A building application was submitted on the 3rd of August. The application is ready to be signed off. We're just still awaiting the fees to be paid by the applicant. There's some fees outstanding.
Thank you. Councillor Grace.
Look, my question is, Mayor, people are asking questions, and I was asked a question by one of my colleagues here tonight, was could the General Manager please, or staff, follow up on the progress or lack of progress on the new shopping centre at Margate so we can get some sort of a press release out to let the people know what is happening down there?
Do you wish to respond, Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We'll take that one on notice, Councillor Grace, and follow up with the developer.
Did you have another question, Councillor Percy?
If I could, thanks. could we be given an update on where the Kingston Beach Master Plan is at? I believe we allowed 50 to 60,000 last year for public consultation and plans to be drawn up for the upgrading of Kingston Beach area. Has the public consultation been completed, and what are the next steps to come up with a
Thank
design?
You. Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. Look, we've been working internally in terms of updating the Kingston Beach Infrastructure Master Plan. So we practically got to the stage now that we'll be ready to bring that back to council in the first instance in a workshop situation there before going back to the community there. Then we'll take that back to the community there and feed back those results to council. So that should be happening fairly shortly. I've just got to organise a workshop date for it.
Thank you. We'll move on to page 8, notice on which notice has been given. I have a notice from Councillor Atkinson. Formally move. Councillor Fox has seconded. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. The issue I'm raising is the Council's position on investment with financial institutions that support fossil fuel. So it's financial institutions, banks and so on, that support funding coal mines and oil operations, things that we know cause climate change and that damage the environment. There's two reasons that I'm raising it. One is that this Council has a strong reputation as taking, you know, innovative work on response to climate change. And yet, if we bank with organisations that are working in direct opposition to what the rest of the Council's policy is doing, it leaves us at the risk of looking rather hypocritical. It's a credit to this Council what's been done over, you know, well before my time in taking leadership on climate change response and mitigation. And yet, this is an area where we don't have anything in our investment policy on taking into account the choices that these financial institutions are making. The only thing the policy says is that we look at which one gives us the best deal. We just follow the money, but we don't look at the quality of the organisation and whether it fits with our organisational goals. I think we risk being overtaken by other councils or other municipalities. You know, for example, City of Melbourne have already decided to include in their investment policy, take into account whether the organisations they're investing with are supporting or encouraging mining of fossil fuels. The other issue, not even just from a, you know, I mean, I don't know where other people think about climate change and the responsibility we have for the environment, but the other is purely financial. There's a growing movement that says fossil fuel companies base their share price on their entire reserve. So they, you know, if you're an oil company or a coal company, they say, you've got all this fuel in the ground, it's worth a lot of money. However, there's a school of thought that says that's vastly overvalued, that over the next decades, that there'll become a situation where those reserves won't be used for a couple of reasons. One is that there'll be increasing regulation. You know, we've seen a little bite at it in Australia with the carbon tax, but internationally there'll be an increasing regulation that stops the burning of fossil fuels, because countries have to reach their 2015 Paris Agreement carbon dioxide release levels. So more and more those stocks will be overvalued. Secondly, renewable energy is becoming much more competitive with fossil fuels as the through the scale of it. We're seeing the price. We've seen it with on-roof solar, but the price of renewable energies will come down and be competitive with fossil fuels. That will also mean that those fossil fuel companies will be overvalued, and so there's a risk of, by investing in those companies, there's a risk to the financial institutions that are doing that, and when it changes, it can change quite rapidly. If suddenly renewables come competitive or a large company introduces regulation, we could see crashes in those prices. For those reasons, I think that we should take into account, I'm not saying veto companies that invest in fossil fuels, but take that into account as part of our choice of who we invest with. This motion, I don't know all the information, and I've talked to John Doyle briefly about it. This motion is just to get a report to council on this. So what I'm asking for is firstly to affirm our commitment to clean energy. Well, I think that this council has a strong position on climate change, and clean energy is an integral part of that. The second part of the report I want is what I've just discussed, which is amending the investment policy to take into account financial institutions' exposure to and support of fossil fuel sector when we're choosing whether to invest with them. The third one is the other area of investment, which is superannuation, to investigate a fossil-free option for staff superannuation if members of staff also feel strongly they don't want to support fossil fuel companies, that I think that we should make sure that's an option that they can take up if they personally believe it, because there's huge amounts of money invested in superannuation companies throughout Australia, and I think that that's somewhere where, if as a community we want to express an opinion on whether we support these companies or not and what they're doing to damage the climate, that's where people can vote with their feet and indicate to the banks that they're not happy with continuing to support things like large coal mines. So that's why I've raised this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Percy.
I'm afraid I can't support this motion. It's good that the council takes a stance on climate change, but unfortunately not. I don't think it's practical in respect of investments, especially the part about the superannuation under the superannuation guarantee. I think all employees are allowed to nominate their own superannuation fund. So if they believe that they shouldn't invest in fossil-free investments, then they can take that option up within their own superannuation fund. There's plenty of them out there that will satisfy that. Council's got no control over what the investments that their staff do their super in, because we don't have a Kingborough Council staff superannuation fund, and those sort of things haven't been around for quite a while. The other one is, I think our investment policy is to ensure that we don't have any risk involved in our business. I remember going back when I was at another council, Lehman Brothers went kaput because they weren't up to the rating that we expected. We now got written in within our investment policy. I think if we go outside, the governments are the ones that are supporting the four banks to make sure that if anything happens there, that it's government sponsored. So I think it would be dangerous to go down to a lower level than that. I'm also a little bit concerned that Mr. Doyle is the responsible officer for this, because I would have thought there would have been probably come from Mr. Breen, who's our chief financial officer, because it is a financial matter as far as I'm concerned. So I'm afraid I can't support this.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Is there further speakers? Councillor Chatterton.
Yeah, I can't support it either. the problem I have is with the superannuation. We don't, as Councillor Percy said, we don't have a staff superannuation scheme. TasPlan is the default scheme if anybody wishes to join council, and staff have their right to have their own superannuation fund if they don't use TasPlan. Now, if one looks at TasPlan, and I know TasPlan because I've been in the industry for 15 years, so I know what I'm talking about. TasPlan don't have individual options. They only have options such as balanced growth, etc., so or cash or whatever. So you haven't got a choice of coming up with individual funds. You have, if you go out and take a private superannuation fund, yes, you can, and a lot of those funds already do have funds available that meet some of the criteria to which Councillor Atkinson is referring to. I used to deal with, when I had my business, I was dealing with my clients and asking them, is there anything they don't wish to invest in, or is there anything they would like to invest in? And they've always had those options to take funds that were sustainable funds, etc., and those options are there with most of the very large companies that exist. I do have a problem with the rest of the motion as well. One, I just think to call for a motion to call for a report to come back the next council meeting is a little bit fast. Nowadays we have council meetings every fortnight, and for a report to come to next council meeting, it has to be done within a week because the reports have got to come out next Wednesday. So that puts a lot of pressure on staff to do reports. I think we should be looking after our staff and not asking for reports such as this in a very short period of time. It's not a critical issue, and I think it's unwise and not very fair on staff to ask for such a short period of time for a report such as this one. I mean, what are our double standards? We use fossil fuel for our cars, our machinery, our trucks, and we use power within the facility, all our places, but yes, we've got panels. But if we're using power, we've got no control over that power, whether it's coming back in under Basslink. And if it's coming in under Basslink, it does most of the nights. It's using fossil fuels in other states to generate their power. So we've got double standards here, and I just think we're out of the ballpark. I was talking to some ratepayers today on what they thought of the issue, and they said, as far as they were concerned, they wanted to make sure that council invest their funds in the best way and got the best return for their funds and look after them as ratepayers and not cause a burden and cause an increase in rates. So I think we've got to think about all these things and not just have a narrow vision.
Thank you. Councillor Fox?
In essence, I agree with Councillor Chatterton in that we need to think about these things and not have a narrow vision. And I think the report calls for just that, and that we investigate this situation. And I do think Mr. Dool is in a good position. I had a chat with him, and he did say it's a very complex issue. It will take time. And to that end, we can ask that it come to the next council meeting. But if it doesn't make the next council meeting, maybe we should amend that part of the motion to say to the next convenient council meeting. I think it is something that we need to consider. And who knows, we might find that we're already doing exactly what is required. It might already be happening. Or there might be options for us to consider, and then we can make some decisions. Do we take this path and pay more? Or it might even be paying less or getting more return or less return. We don't know. And until we know, it is something that I think a lot of people in the community are concerned about. And it would look good for this council to show that we have considered these issues. So I wonder whether Councillor Atkinson would like to modify the motion to show that the report come to the next convenient meeting. So I would change the motion to that, so that it would go to that next convenient meeting of council, and that we do ask Mr. Dool, and obviously he's going to be working with Mr. Breen. I mean, it is a financial issue. But I think combining these two levels of expertise that we have in council will go a long way to investigating this issue and making sure that we're doing the right thing in the current climate of investment, and that we are looking... It's all very well for us to say, look, we've got a vehicle that doesn't use petrol alone. We've got fantastic solar panels on the council's roof. That means that we're not using any electricity from Basslink at all during the day when the sun shines. And it's amazing how much we are doing for climate change in this council. And it's another way that we can then say we are also looking at that, even if we can't do all that we would like to do, but at least we understand the issues and we understand which investments might have an edge over others based on this criteria. So I do recommend the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Grace.
Mr Mayor, through you, I think we should see to Councillor Bastone. She's not well and...
Are you sure? Because you were nodding off there and I thought... Okay, she's right.
Councillor Atkinson, I'll ask you to close debate.
Sorry.
Sorry, Councillor Berry.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I mean, when I first read this motion, I thought, oh, yeah, that's just glancing at it. I thought that would be something that I could support. But I mean, I agree entirely with one, but I listened carefully to what Councillor Percy and Councillor Chatterton had to say, I think particularly in relation to the superannuation. I mean, I really want to be much better informed about what the implications of this are, what actually our exposure is. Before we even contemplate changing things or making, you know, what is really a complicated issue for me. I mean, I'm much more familiar with one that has been investigated and which is that of the tobacco industry, and where there's been efforts with superannuation funds to actually deal with that kind of the one follows the other much more clearly there than it does here. I think it's certainly too complicated an issue, but I would like to report. I mean, two is an item that I can't agree with. I would like more information. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson, if you'd like to close the vote.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, everyone, for your contribution, because I raised this because I wanted to hear what the opinions were around the table. I agree with when Councillor Percy says we don't want to be looking at higher risk investments, because, and I'm not suggesting that, and this is why I want to see what the options are, but at the moment, the policy only talks about putting things out to tender and choosing the highest return. The reason I'm asking for a report on options is to understand these things about what would be the implications. Would it be that we're increasing our risk? I don't know. I don't bring a huge amount of financial expertise to the table. That I'm asking for staff to provide qualified support or a qualified advice on this so that I do know. That's why I ask for a report. That's, you know, why we have staff to provide some information. I guess in briefly, in response to Councillor Chatterton's comment about a burden on ratepayers, I know different people see the world differently. I see not taking action on reducing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere is placing a burden on ratepayers. It's just not a burden that we'll see within our term on council, but it's going to be a burden for us as a society, and I think this is where I think there's an opportunity for us to take a lead and to show responsibility on these things. I'm only asking for a report as to what the options are. As I say, I'm not an expert in these things. I'm not an environmental scientist. I'm not a financial, you know, CFO of the council. I'm asking for a report from qualified staff to say what are the options, so that I understand, and then if we decide to move forward or not, I've got information in front of me. So I hope I can get some support around the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors, I'll put the motion moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Fox. The council request officers to prepare a report to the next convenient meeting of council on the options available to council for council to 1. Affirm its commitment to clean energy through its investments. 2. Amend the investment of funds policy during the policy's next review to include consideration of financial institutions' exposure to and support of the fossil fuel sector when selecting how to invest. 3. Investigate fossil-free investment options for staff superannuation. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a show of hands. We'll have a show of hands and a division. I guess so. Those in favour of the motion are Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Fox. Councillors opposing the motion are? Councillor Reid. So I have three. Could I just have those in favour of the motion, please? I have Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Fox, Councillor Reid. Thank you, councillors. Those councillors opposing the motion are Councillors Winter, Grace, Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Berry and Wass. Motion is lost. On page 10, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. And petitions received in the last period, on the day of compiling the agenda, no petitions had been received. The open session of council adjourns, the time being 5:55. And I remind councillors that we are now moving into a planning authority and we're now acting as a planning authority. The first one, report of officers, is delegated authority for the period 13 July to 26th of July, and there is a recommendation on page 13. Thank you, Councillor Grace, and thank you, Councillor Percy. Are there any questions, councillors?
Just the one on, well, it's the first one, second one down, development application for permit development use. I take it it's the Middleton Hall shed. Why? I find it strange. The shed's there. Why do we need a permit to enclose it? I thought it was enclosed anyway.
Okay, I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to explain. Mrs. Loxley.
I'll have to take that on notice and check the details of the application, but every application that comes in, we check for requirements and the need for a planning permit. So it must have needed one, but it is a permitted use, so it's one that wasn't publicly advertised.
Thank you. Councillor Vestar.
Yes, I'd just like to ask a question. If it says a subdivision of one lot and balance, does that mean the balance is not big enough to be a lot?
Mrs. Loxley.
Through you, Chair. No, not necessarily. It just means they're subdividing off one lot and the balance is effectively what's left over. And that will probably, more often than not, exceed the minimum lot size. It's just the leftover bit, if you like.
Thank you. Councillors, I'll put that recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. On page 14 is a development application for a dwelling at 54 Harvey Street, Alana, for Maverick Builders. And there is a recommendation on page 20. Councillor Grace, I have as a mover. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
I had a concern, but I raised that with Mrs. Loxley before the meeting, and I'm satisfied with that because this is a development application for a dwelling. It will need a building application later down the track, and I believe that will be dealt with then. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any further councillors wish to debate? I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for a dwelling at 54 Harvey Street, Alana, for Maverick Builders be approved subject to the following conditions. And the following conditions, there are eight of them as listed on page 2021. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 26, a development application for subdivision of three lots at 19 Graham Street, Electrona, for Rogerson and Birch Surveyors. And there is a recommendation on page 45. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Fox.
I think it's a very interesting situation here where there's a piece of land so close to a fish processing plant, and also there is a covenant, I guess, on this in terms of global warming and sea level rise, but the blocks are proposed to be quite close to Graham Street, the houses, I mean, on the block, and also well away from the factory and double glazed, and in keeping with the rest of the houses on this street. So it is unfortunate this area is blighted by a factory, and I guess it's never good to allow further houses, even though the other houses have probably been there quite a while. But I don't think there's any reason for us to refuse it, and I think it's probably the best outcome in this situation from a planning perspective. So I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Grace?
I'm just a bit concerned about it in the fact that it's Graham Street and it's going right back to the Tassels boundary. That is not what I thought. I mean, yes, Councillor Fox said there's a caveat on the block saying that they are building there knowing fully well that the Tassel's there, but I can't see that caveat relating to these three blocks. If you subdivide those blocks, then all of a sudden we get two out of the three that start complaining about the factory. And we haven't addressed that properly, and I'm a bit concerned about that. And I'm also concerned because there are other bigger lots in that area, and we particularly made them that big at the time that that subdivision went in place so that we'd get them away from Tassel. So I'll have a little bit of, and I'd ask staff to please let us know what the situation really is there, because I can't see it clear enough in here, or whether we need to move an amendment motion to cover that the cabins go on and say that if they can't complain once they buy the block of land, because they know fully what they're buying and what they're building next to.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to provide some information.
Through you, Chair, the existing title, so the large title that is existing, has a covenant on it that includes a building envelope, so it requires people to build close to Graham Street. That covenant is transferred onto the three new existing titles, so each of the new existing titles will also have that same covenant. So it requires them to build close to Graham Street, and if you look at the plans in the attachment, you can see where that puts it in relation to Tassel. So it keeps them right at the front of those lots there. So that gets automatically transferred over onto each of the new titles, and also there will be a further covenant requiring them to be double glazed and for the bedrooms to be located on the southern side, I think it is.
Thank you, Mrs. Loxley. Councillor Chatterton?
Yeah, look, if councillors want to confer what Ms. Loxley just said, if you look at page 54 of the agenda, page 54 has got the hashed lot on each one of those lots on page 54, and those houses are going to be no closer than the big house at the end of Graham Street, which is actually going to be closer, and the other houses. So, yes, they're just long, narrow lots which they can't develop. I have no problems with it at all. It's quite explicit there on page 54.
Yeah, the drawing's there, but I just wanted to double-check, Councillor, because...
It's OK, Councillor Grace, we've done that. Further discussion, Councillors? Councillor Fox, would you like to close debate? Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for subdivision of three lots at 19 Graham Street, Electrona, for Rogerson and Birch Surveyors be approved subject to the following conditions, and they are 17 conditions as printed on page 45, 6 and 7 and 8. Councillors in favour, if you would say aye. Councillors opposing? Motion is carried unanimously. The next item will be on page 56, so the open session of Council will resume at 6:04. And the first report of officers is the 1967 Bushfires Commemoration Working Group, and there is a recommendation on page 58. Councillor Grace, Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
I don't need to say an awful lot about this, but I think it's a fantastic suggestion that the committee's come forward with, because I can only see it as being picturesque when the trees are actually planted and their type of plea. And I must say thank you to Mr. Reeves for allowing us to have Christine Anker. Again, see, she comes up with these magic things at the right time. I guess every council will support these. And I must say too that the Snug Primary School, I was speaking to the headmaster today, they would love to take an interest in the planting of the trees with the council workers or contractors or whatever, and they would like to take some sort of ownership, but not take them over, not only go down there when they're allowed to go down there and check on them and keep an eye on them, and if they see them damaged, they report it back to the headmaster and all that sort of stuff. So they're going to take a great interest in those trees, Mr. Mayor, so I hope everyone gets behind this project.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy?
Can I say also, Mr. Mayor, I'm not singling out one person in the committee, because Julie Autofox has done a marvellous job, and we now have also Angie, and it's all going well.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, no, I think this is the correct use of public open space money or reserve. I'm sure that all have contributed to the public open space reserve would feel that this is it's beneficial to the current community. And respect to the community that were involved in the horrific bushfires in the Snug and Channel area, I just think it's a great idea, and congratulations to those that have been involved in setting it up. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Winner?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this is exactly what I hoped we'd get when we set this committee up, and it's just such a simple and great idea, and it's a great use of the fund, so I'm really happy with it. I think it's great. Well done.
Thank you. Councillor Percy? Councillor Chatterton?
Yeah, look, I think the choice of the trees in particular, they're going to flower and be red flowers in the month of February, is very fitting and apt, as it says in the report, and I think that's fantastic. I note on page 57 where it talks about communication and consultation, it said they're going to contact the affected residents and be notified of the proposed plantings, and I think that's good, because some people always don't like things outside their front door or whatever, but I think we should be consulting. And the other thing is, I'm pleased that Councillor Grace mentioned the school was going to take inverted commas ownership of them, because that's the problem we seem to get when we get plantings of this nature. There's always an element in the community that don't have respect for those plantings that we do, and it's great to have another set of eyes, and I was going to suggest that we should be getting the school or something like that on board to act as policemen to look after it, because I think it's important that we get as much information out to the whole of the community, because it's something that the whole of Snug should be proud of when it's put in. So I think we need the backing of the not just the people, the trees are going to be planted outside, but the other people, to make sure that they appreciate what it's for and make sure that their eyes and ears are supportive of any vandalism, you know, reporting of that as well.
Councillor Fox?
I also congratulate the group on coming up with this suggestion. I think I agree with all the speakers so far. My only concern is, but I will support the motion 100%, I think this is a precedent in that we are using public open space money for streetscaping. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the public open space fund is generally meant for parks and playgrounds, preferably for land acquisition, and also perhaps for playground equipment But as far as I can remember on council, it's not been used for streetscaping, which technically is not public open space, even though it's obviously a really good idea, and I think in this case it's something special and is providing a memorial at the same time for Snug, and I'm sure the residents of Snug will be very supportive, particularly as they have 90-odd thousand in their account, and they've still got money left in that account to spend on other public open space. But I wouldn't like to see this as a precedent where we'll be using public open space funds for other streetscaping unless there was a special situation like this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Fox has just raised one of the issues that I was interested in, but having said that, I completely support this, and I was pleased in the report it talks about the choice of species, that they can be planted under power lines and roots aren't going to interfere with infrastructure, which I'm glad that, sensible information is coming from staff as to what we should be doing. The other point I don't think is mentioned in here, but it probably was considered, is that that species is included on the bushfire safe species to plant, which seems an appropriate thing that we don't choose a highly inflammable tree. I think that would be foolish. So, I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. Councillor Berry?
Oh, just briefly, yes, I agree and listen to what people have to say. I think it's particularly appropriate that the school be involved in this, given the history, actually, of what happened at the school in the fires. And so it would be great if some way in which the students can be involved. That probably needs a little more work than has happened so far.
Thank you. I have one question, and I guess it's answered there, but I'm wondering whether the committee in 2018, it'll be 51 years from the event, in 2019 it'll be 52 years in the event, etc., etc. I'm just wondering why we are not looking at 63 trees to represent each and every person who lost their life in the 67 fires. I don't know whether the committee considered that, and I don't know whether you have a response there, Ms. Jenny. No?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The working group certainly didn't consider that in the time that I was in the meeting for the 63. It was very much about representing the 50 years, but that's not to say that we can't discuss that in the next meeting.
That's fine. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, what we did discuss was the fact that we're only talking about, if I may speak...
Your closing debate.
Well, I'll close the debate. That's fine. Is there anyone else who want to speak?
No, you're it.
We're only talking about the 50th year at this stage, and then we're hoping that it will grow into something better, as you said, as years go on. It could be left open, and it's just something that we have thought about recommending to council at the end of our time with this committee, is something like you've just spoke about, whether people can come and plant a tree the same, and we'd specify what had to be planted for their mother or father that was burnt to death or something like that. So we did think about that, and we didn't find it appropriate at this time to do all that, because we probably would have wanted $100,000 instead. Just finally, though, can I just say that this is just not only for Snug as such. The committee are very strong on getting people, tourists, down to the memorial. And if we've got something up the top of the road to tell them also that there's the memorial's down, we're going to attract tourists down there. That's what we're also hoping there.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that Council approves the proposal to plant 50 trees along Beach Road Snug in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Black Tuesday bushfires, utilising $30,000 from the Snug Public Open Space Funds. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those opposed? Carried unanimously. The next item is on page 64, Youth Recreational Services, and there is a recommendation on page 67. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Reid. Councillor Chatterton?
Yes, I've read the report, and it's quite interesting. It's all naturally based on the Channel area, as Councillor Grace asked some questions a couple of meetings ago to get something looked at for down the Channel area, and it's touched on Margate, Snug, Electrone and Woodbridge and Middleton, Gordon has touched on all those areas, and now the idea is to get a consultation be undertaken with the young people at Snuggin Electrona, which is great. I mean, if you're going to do something, you've got to talk to the people that may use the facility, and this is what this is about, and I totally support that. And then once we've the staff or the consultation's been taken undertaken by whoever, we get that report back, and then we can look at things that we may be able to do to give the kids some interest and something to do in the area, rather than perhaps sitting and pushing their thumbs on little buttons. So it'd be great.
Councillor Winter?
Yeah, I don't know. Councillor Chatterton might be talking about Pokemon. That's all they're doing. You walk around the streets of Kingborough at the moment, and all you can see is kids walking around with phones playing Pokemon. there's a Pokemon gym outside my house. When Councillor Grace moved this, and we discussed it, again, similarly to the last item we discussed, this is what I envisage. We've got a really good audit of the of facilities we have in the channel, and we've got a plan now. We understand what's there. We had a fairly good idea anyway, but this maps it out, and very appropriately points that the next stage is to talk to young people about what exactly they want. Fair to say, none of us here know what... I don't know what 16-year-olds in the channel want, and so we need to ask them, and again... I'm sure that our youth recreational staff are very well placed to find out exactly what they do want. And the timing, of course, works really well in that we can get a report and have a look at this in the context of our next budget, make sure that it fits in, it's appropriate, we can map it out over the forward estimates. So to me, this is working in a way that sometimes I wish all projects would work. But again, congratulations to Councillor Grace for bringing it to us, and I hope that this is appreciated at least at this stage by the local community down there, that that we are thinking about, particularly about young people, and making sure that they've got real and attractive ways to engage with each other and with their community, and keep them active.
Thank you. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. Look, this is a really good report, and does certainly, there's nothing like doing a bit of an audit to see where our weaknesses are, and certainly there would seem to be a lot of young people living in the channel who don't have access to good recreational facilities. I just wanted to just touch on the consultation side of it and suggest, because it's always very difficult, I'm sure we could go through the Y space and pick up some young people there, but we really would need to try and engage with the schools, and I'd particularly urge council staff to look at actually making approaches to the student bodies in the schools. So for example, Kingston High School, where my children attend, they have a very active U10 leadership group, and I'm sure they would love to take this on as a project by getting the message around the school that they want to hear from any kids who live in the Snug area, that they can come and have their say, and then forward this on. They like projects like this, and I'm sure that other high schools, or certainly the St Aloysius campus, would have a similar setup. But also I think the SRCs at the primary schools would be a really good way to engage children from the area. So I look forward to seeing what we are able to come up with following that.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
One thing I noticed in the Snug Electrona Conyngham report on the matrix, it doesn't show that they have in fact got one of the nicest beaches in Kingborough. They've got a very nice sheltered river mouth and clean beach in Snug that is very popular with children. They've got picnic facilities there, and they've also got a beautiful walking track that goes all the way from the river right up into the bush past the school, which is very well used by the school and supported by the school and the local residents, and they walk down that path to get to school as well.
So in fact, from a recreational point of view, from a passive recreational point of view, Snug and Conyngham have got some of the loveliest beaches, and that's not actually mentioned in the matrix, but I do think we should acknowledge that and make sure that young people are encouraged to actually go to the beach and use the beach. But apart from that, I'd say there's a lack of active recreational pursuits, even though there are sporting grounds both at the school and at by the hall in Snug. But there's always room for improvements, and I'd be very interested to see what the community consultation will bring up and what the children themselves would like. But don't forget the beaches. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll ask Councillor Chadden to close debate.
Closed, thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Reek, that A, consultation be undertaken with young people in Snug Electrona with a view of addressing the lack of youth recreational facilities currently available in this area, and B, a further report be provided to Council with details of any proposed additional infrastructure and funding sources. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It is carried unanimously. Next item is on page 69, King Barras Bicycle Advisory Committee, and a recommendation on page 71. Do I have a seconder for discuss? Councillor Fox, I'll put that the matter be discussed. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, the reason I move to discuss it is really the discussion of the first point there, that the recommendation is there's council appoints a councillor representative to the vacant position of deputy chair. I'd prefer that we just went and did it and changed that to a point to say we actually appoint someone. I didn't want to propose that as a motion because I wanted to have the discussion as to firstly whether people think we should have a deputy chair. The second part of the issue is this, I just wanted to expand a bit on this, increasing the community membership from 5 to 7. And as background, we've had 2 meetings now where we've missed a quorum by 1 person. So we've had 5 or 6 people sitting in the room, but we haven't had a quorum. The meeting's only every 2 months. That's 6 months since we've had a formal meeting. So this is an issue because there's things that the committee would like to bring up to council, and they're unable to because they haven't got a quorum. Part of it is a problem of rounding. It's that the terms of reference say half the membership plus one, 7 becomes 3.5, plus 1 becomes 4.5, somehow becomes we need 5. So, and the reason people haven't been there is often international travel or illness. It's not lack of interest. They're all keenly interested in the community, but they have other commitments and can't always make it. The meeting's at an appropriate time. It was a 5 o'clock meeting. That was discussed, and in part to let the Cycling South representative get there more easily, we've changed it to a Friday morning meeting. So it's not a lack of interest or inappropriate time. It's that because other people have other commitments, sometimes a couple of them are away, and then the whole meeting collapses for another 2 months. So I don't know what other people think about directly appointing someone as a deputy chair now, and also what people think about expanding the terms of reference. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Winter.
I was just going to ask about there was, when I first arrived on council, there had been deputy chairs and then there weren't. So I guess I'm posing a question. Is this, I thought we had a blanket policy that said that we only had chairs and we didn't have deputy chairs. Am I incorrect with that assumption?
No, Councillor Whitty, you were right, but it appears that this committee did not change the terms of reference reflect what the council did.
And can I, sure, if I can pose the question to the chair, Councillor Atkinson, is there, what do you see as the advantage of having a second councillor as opposed to another member of the public to join the committee?
I'm beastly careless as to which way we go, actually. I haven't pushed for the deputy chair thing. I mean, part of the issue is that Councillor Fox has been at the last couple of meetings where we haven't had a quorum and we can't include her as a member, and yet we've had people in the room who are interested in these issues and want to discuss it, and it's been frustrating for the
community members, that they've got two councillors sitting there, only one counts. But I'm not passionate about it. Like, I just want more a choice of more people so that we can have a couple away and still have a quorum.
Councillor Grace?
I'm just wondering, when we talked about committees some while back when they were changed to bi-monthly, I thought it was suggested at the time that the bicycle group committee, the bicycle, Kimbrough Bicycle Advisory Committee, join with the road safety committee meeting. And you do the one in one. Because they're all dealing with safety and other...
That was a suggestion, Councillor Grace, but one or both committees, I believe, chose not to. But I can't recall whether it was one or both. Both did. Councillor Chadden?
Oh, there's representatives from the bicycle area are on road safety anyway. There's at least two, so there is a intermingle and crossover. And I think to have the two separate is probably desirable because some things that are not road safety, for example, would be discussed by the bicycle people, and therefore people would probably get bored and why are we coming and so on. I have no problem increasing it to 7 community members, not a problem in the world. But did I hear correctly, at the moment the terms of reference say they have a chair and a deputy chair and they're both councillors, am I correct? Is that what you say? Okay. So we have, and the terms of reference are actually set by council, not by the committees, am I correct? So the council can change the terms of reference, if they so desire, to have as one councillor, and for example, one councillor, seven community, plus the one from Cycling South, making 9. And if Councillor Atkinson feels it would work with that, I think we should go with it. I mean, Councillor Atkinson's the chair, and he's giving us some information now that says, I can't run my committee because I haven't got enough people. Well, we've got to fix it. And I think if Councillor Atkinson should lead us to the way that he thinks the committee would work best, and I'm happy to go along with it.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson, if you'd like to close debate.
Yeah, in closing debate, I'll move the recommendation.
Sorry,
but without
no, sorry, I'm out of order. It's the matter to be discussed.
Yeah. So could...
So, no, you don't get that.
Well, can someone move part over?
You can move it.
I'm moving as the recommendation with only part B included without part A. And I'd like to change part A to say that we'll change the terms of reference to no longer have a deputy chair.
Thank you.
I'm happy to second it.
Thank you.
Question, no, then, if no, you do... No,
just wait, please.
Yeah, but
just got getting it right, and then I'll go to Councillor Atkinson. Just move the motion, then you may speak after.
In the change, you've got to have the committee.
No, I'm sorry. Getting the motion right, then I'm going to Councillor Atkinson to open debate, and then I'll come to you.
But I'm just making it easy for you. What?
I said I will go to Councillor Atkinson to open debate because debate can't open until Councillor Atkinson speaks, and then I will come to you.
I'll get on my bike.
What, go out the door?
I'll tap you on the shoulder when it's time.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Very briefly, the intention of removing the Deputy Chair is to bring the terms of reference in alignment with, as people said previously, that we've removed Deputy Chairs from the other committees of this sort, and part B is to increase the membership to 7 so that we can more easily call raise a forum, so it will be 6 out of 9 members required rather than 5 out of whatever it is.
Thank you.
My maths isn't good. Thanks.
Councillor Grace.
Thank you. I'm so pleased. Okay, I'll go along with that. But, say the chair's not there, so you've got to go back to the other. So if the chairman's not there, there is a forum, then that the committee then would have to appoint their own chairman for the day. So
correct.
That needs to be put in there.
No, that will be included in the terms of reference, which is consistent with all the others.
Okay.
Councillor Fox.
I just have a question, I guess, that in the past I have attended when Councillor Atkinson was away, and for continuity's sake too, if I was a councillor attending that meeting, would I then be asked to chair the meeting, or would it be one of the other members who's Would it have to be a committee member, or could it be another councillor who was present?
It then goes to a committee member.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
And of course you're at liberty to attend any committee meeting, be that one, anyone.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Councillor Atkinson, would you like to close debate?
Closed.
Councillors, I'll put the recommendation that, moved by Councillor Atkinson, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that A, Council change the terms of reference to no longer have a deputy chairperson, and B, Council approves an amendment to the membership under the terms of reference to allow up to 7 community representatives on the committee. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 72, information reports. If I can have a mover and second, then we'll go through the reports. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Thank you, Councillor Reed. The first one is the Mayor's communications. If there's any questions on that, I'm happy to answer those. Councillor Percy, you have a question?
Just got a correction. In item number 9, I didn't go to the AGM. I wasn't there. I went to the
Boat Days of the seminar. Thank you. Councillor Winter.
I was just going to follow up from, I think it was last meeting or the meeting before, we were discussing the Hobart Traffic Committee and just inquiring as to whether there had been any further correspondence about the state government potentially owning or taking over Davey and Macquarie Street, and anything further you can add about that, Mayor?
No, I can't, Councillor Winter. The only thing I think is what we've both read in the press. I haven't seen today's press.
I think today's was it today or was it yesterday?
Oh,
no,
yes. Yesterday.
The minister is going to meet with Hobart City Council, but they've stood down on their push for Davey and Macquarie, but they're going to meet with the council to see what they can do.
That's right.
And it said something about if 8% of the traffic drops 8% when the school holidays are on, and it flows reasonably well. So if there was a way of reducing traffic by 8%, the traffic would flow well every day of the week.
I understand, Councillor Winter, that some of the aldermen at Hobart City Council weren't in favour of transferring either street to the state government, and that piece in the day's paper.
I just got the feeling that councillors around this table were keen for the state government to take over control of those roads.
So I proposed to talk with the Yilgarn Valley Council to ask them their thoughts, which I think might have been yourself that mentioned before. Someone who mentioned that, Councillor Chadden, and I've had informal discussions with them, and they're of the same opinion as us at this stage.
Okay. So you'll
understand.
We'll leave it to you, Mayor. Good luck.
Might need good luck. Thank you. The next item is, sorry, Councillor, see your light now. I can see it a lot better now.
I'm similar. I didn't attend the AGM either on the Wednesday in item 9.
Okay, noted. Thank you.
And, Mayor, I did attend the National Tree Day event on the Sunday the 31st towards the very end of the day.
Yes, you mentioned in your email. And I think on that National Tree Day, to thank the staff that were there on the day, and also they did a power of work, and after the work they packed up and went about their business and would have been bright-eyed and bushy-tailed the next day. And the Lions Club of Kingborough, who fed everyone, and also the scouts who worked tirelessly and gave every adult an instruction how to do it, which was really great. The next one is the report from Councillor Fox re the two workshops or the two concurrent sessions that she attended. If there's any questions or comments to Councillor Fox on that. If there's anything that you want to add, Councillor Fox?
Only that I was lucky enough when I was in Mr. Plowman's workshop to win a book, which I will donate to council, and councillors can look at it in the councillors' room. It's basically about cooperative techniques of community consultation. So there you go.
Thank you. And the final report is the Infrastructure Works Progress Report,
which starts at page 76, matched by some photos. And as you can see, there's been quite a bit done in the weather that we've had. What are you going to move? The sign on page 79. You can also see there's some damage, Coffee Creek, Kingston. And I think from memory, Mr. Arnold suggested that that severe weather storm will cost us in the order of about $200,000, give or take. So we didn't come out lightly, although we did miss the silver bullets that we've fired at both Derwent Valley and Huon Valley. Are there any questions, yep. Councillor Grace?
I have a few. I've had lots of complaints about roads, of course. Old Station Road, I don't know if anyone's driven along there lately. It's appalling. Absolutely appalling. It's a wonder there hasn't been an accident, somebody ditch himself in the bay. Tears Road. But we did get a list of stuff that Mr. Reeves gave us regarding the flood, but I think since then we've had another downpour. I'm wondering whether we can get are you talking about $200,000 of cost? I would have thought it'd probably be more when some of the damage that I've seen, but we need to be updated. So, and also we were told, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were told that it was council management's idea to give us a map on the council chambers of where the grader is and what it's grading, etc., etc., so that we could look at it each month or fortnightly, and we can see for ourselves where they've advanced in that time, so that when we do get complaints, at least we can say to the public, well, the grader's work and so and so, subject to weather, it will should be in your area on such and such a day. The grader looks pretty good. Our works manager won't allow me to have a drive of it, but I can assure you, Mr. Mayor, I'm quite capable of driving it. I'll probably grade a road or two for you, but unfortunately, he says I'm not allowed in there. I can have a look at it, and I have, and it's a nice grader. But where's the Mitsubishi that was on this side? I thought council purchased this machine for Bruny Island. If we've got so much damage with roads, and I know we've had some damage on Bruny Island, I thought we would have had at least a couple of graders going on this side of the island trying to catch up with some of this maintenance work. And I noted too, Mayor, the Flocon truck that we spent a fortune for, and I dug the report out on that the other day that was sent to council to the reasons why they wanted to purchase this truck, and we all agreed to the best thing that we ever bought. But it seems to me that sitting in the yard 100% of its time, not 100%, but a lot of the time, it's sitting in the yard. It's not being used.
Mr. Mayor, sorry,
I'm wondering why this can't be used on shoulders, on road shoulders. Beg your pardon?
Councillor Berry?
Look, it's great to hear Councillor Grace's passion about everything to do with infrastructure, but can it just be confined to what's in the report, please?
Okay, sorry then. Well, I've got that. Well, what I want to know is too, we've got here some of the projects on page 84 listed. Obviously, the Merrimer Park Access Road Upgrade, Coffee Creek. These have gone out to contract, how do we do this? Because I had a contractor ring me, and we talked about this same contractor some time ago that's not been given an opportunity to quote on these roads. Is it a fair way to go, or should we not call quotes for these jobs?
Mr. Mayor,
point of order. Question.
I can't find anything in the report about contractors and the...
if you look at...
It's on page 84.
84, Mr. Mayor, if you look, or ex-mayor.
Councillor Grace, please. I'll ask Mr. Reeve just to summarise, please.
Through you, Mayor. For all our projects there, we do put out four quotes. So, obviously, if they get to the stage there where they're going to be... nearing the tender limit there. We'll actually go out for public tenders there, which opens it up to anybody to actually put a tender in for. For other projects there which are smaller, so underneath that amount there, we put them out to quotes, I guess based on the type of contractors that we typically deal with there. But if there's other contractors out there, we're quite willing to actually send out that information to them as well. So quite happy to actually hear about anybody who thinks they might be missing out there. Try and make that as open as possible for people to actually do it. It's obviously in our best interest to get as many submissions as possible for these jobs. But we certainly don't go to one single contractor. We have a purchasing policy that actually requires us, in most cases there, to go to at least three different contractors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Well, can I ask you through you, Mayor, has bachelor contractors been requested to quote on any of these jobs?
I'll get Mr. Reeve to talk to you later, if you like, Councillor, and he can answer all those questions on which job and all that. Yep, no, Mr. Reeve nodding his head, so yeah, he's happy to discuss that with you. Councillor Fox?
I just wanted to comment on the item on page 85, the recreation ground access ramp. And this is something the Access Committee asked for about 15 years ago, and Mr. Hugh Murphy, who was the current engineer, designed a ramp, which was a different design. But it's such a high-use hall because of the musical events they hold and also art exhibitions. And I know that people have fallen down those steps because they're too narrow and very steep. And I'm hoping that the steps will be completely eliminated in this design, and because you know people have actually been hospitalised and broken hips and legs, and I'm just wondering what the cost has been of this particular design.
Mr. Reeve, can you answer whether or not by using that ramp it will eliminate the steps for those residents who wish to bypass the steps, and do you have a costing?
Through you, Mayor. Certainly the intention of the ramp there is to allow for those people who need to use that ramp to actually access it. My understanding is the steps would still be available for people who are more able-bodied to actually be able to use those steps. I'd probably have to get back to you in terms of the actual overall cost of it. It was tied up with a couple of projects in that area there in terms of the car park as well, so the two projects were combined together there. So the exact cost in terms of the ramp there, I can provide back to you as in a written form, if you like.
Thank you.
All I want to say is I'd rather it cost more than less, because those steps are lethal. If you put your foot on them, your shoe doesn't quite fit. And elderly people, there's no handrail there whatsoever to hold on to. I must admit I'm looking at a half-finished job here, but if it was at all possible to eliminate those steps altogether and to have everybody come up a well-designed ramp, it would be money well spent.
Thank you. Councillor Bastow.
Can I give an explanation as to what it's like?
Yes.
There are no steps anymore. There's only a ramp. The people aren't happy with it in Kettering, I'll tell you right now. But they've been, and because they've put a planter box at the bottom of the ramp. So it's very difficult to back a car up to it to unload musical instruments. In fact, you can't. So when we sought, as part of the Hall Committee, when we sought an explanation, we were told it was put there to stop people actually driving on the ramp because it's not strong enough. So there are no steps now, though, at all, and there's a rail at the top which stops you unloading straight onto the platform as well. So everything has to be manhandled up a very long ramp now.
Thank you, Councillor Bester. Councillor Widder?
Yeah, it's just interested. Mayor, you've made the comment about the financial impact of the storms. I was just interested in whether Mr. Reeve could provide an update about the impact of the storm and what sort of impact we're expecting on our ability to get through our work schedule for this financial year.
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, I guess I can answer this in a couple of different ways there. It's probably worthwhile noting for councillors there that the type of storms we actually had are not a freak occurrence there. They're likely to occur on a regular basis there. We're likely to get these type of storms and this type of damage actually occurring probably every couple of years or so. Even the recent history actually shows that. So we have been trying to allow for that in terms of our both our budgets that we actually have and also the work that we're likely to actually come across each year type of thing. It's very hard to actually know when a particular event's going to occur type of thing, but what we do try and do is adjust some of our other budgets if we need to actually allow for some of this repair works to actually be undertaken. Depends very much on where the storm might actually hit as well as to what sort of damage it's likely to do. In this case, as the Mayor pointed out there, the damage was still quite significant in terms of our own council resources there, but a lot less than what it could have actually been. So we've managed to actually, deal with that within our works program and without providing too much of an issue in terms of us trying to deliver the rest of the program for the year as well.
I just have one more.
Yes, sir.
All of this talk of the Kettering Hall steps reminded me of the issue we had with the Margate Hall steps some time ago. This might be a bit of a stretch, but do we have any update on what happened with that?
We'll have to take that one on notice.
Can I just add, I did ring Amanda about that. I was reported about the hall at Margate, the steps, can you remember, Amanda? And when they had the state elections down there a couple of months ago, I believe three people actually fell off the steps, come out of the hall and couldn't get hold of it. I don't think it's got a rail on it, I could be wrong.
We'll take that on notice and get a response, Councillor. The Councillor Chatterton.
I'm just going to say, if we've got a problem with this, the bottom of the ramp that Councillor Bastone's alluded to, perhaps Mr Rees might look at perhaps a couple of bollards and that the instruments would fit between bollards and at least go up the ramp. It needs to be looked at if there's a problem and we can't just leave it like that.
And we did ask for that and we were told no.
I think if the councillors would like to support Councillor Bastone, I think we might be able to see what we could be done.
Yeah, Mr Reeve has indicated he'll certainly review that. Mr Arnold?
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I just want to briefly return to a question Councillor Grace raised about road grading. Our latest edition of Snapshots on Kingborough says that selected roads within the areas of Snug, Lower Snug, Kettering, Longley and Leslie Vale will be graded over the coming 2 months, depending on weather conditions.
And I understand Snug Tears Road was done last week before now. And the other interesting thing that Mr Arnold informed me last week was that, like on, say, page 76, where there's a culvert, if that culvert can't cope with an extreme downpour and we've got to replace that culvert and the culvert gets washed away, where there's funds or insurance claims, we can't get any money unless we replace like with like. So if we know that that culvert has to be twice the size to cope, then when we rebuild that culvert in twice the size for those reasons, then we can't claim any funds and get them. So, yeah, we've got to replace like with like. Yeah, for a flood amount. No further questions. I'll go back to page 72. The information reports moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Reek, that the following information reports be noted. 1. The Mayor's communications. 2. The report from Councillor Fox. 3. 2016 Legat Annual Conference. And 3. The Infrastructure Works Progress Report. I'll ask councillors to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 86. Confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. That was Councillor Percy. And, Councillor Chadden. Must be that voice, Councillor Chadden. And Councillor Berry. And also the matters are the application of leave of absence and a compulsory land acquisition.
I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, we'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Bastone, Percy, Grace, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Winter. Motion is carried. Closed session. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meetings Procedure Regulations 2015, the Council move into closed session. Thank you, Councillor Fox, and thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines, policy recording of the open session of this meeting will now cease. The open session of Council adjourned at 6:49.